Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to read a passage of Scripture, and then we'll get started. But our main focus is it's God's instruction on immigration. And God wants us to focus on, witnessing to the many immigrants that are in our city and state. I'm going to read Matthew, if you want to go there. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 and 37. We'll pray and get started. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 and 37. Very familiar verses. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning and just marvel in your wonderful grace, Lord. And we just pray that you bless us this time. Give me your power through your Spirit, Lord. It's the only way I can do this. And give you justice, Lord, is help me to speak with your word, Lord. And I just pray that you be with, like Pastor said, with the people that are making the decisions about immigration, and help us to get focused there and make a decision, Lord. Help President Trump to do whatever it needs to get that addressed. And you just pray that we, as citizens, as Americans, follow the rule of law, and just find truth and honesty there, Lord. We pray now that you bless in this hour. We ask for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord. We rejoice in your Son, Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the last time I was speaking, we were talking, of course, we talked about the Statue of Liberty and what it says there. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And, of course, through the many years of our country, we've had many many people immigrate for whatever reason there is. I mean, there's a lot of questions and discussion about immigration now because of just the amount of people that are here. And, of course, we have, you know, people that we really know that immigrated here. We talked about that. We talked about like Albert Einstein. He was he immigrated from Germany. Alexander Graham Bell, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was a famous one that immigrated from Austria, and there were others. Levi Strauss, he immigrated from Bavaria, and most of the reason these people immigrated here, for whatever reason it was, but most of our immigrants are attracted here because of our government, or it's stable. We have a strong economy. And, of course, we have many individual rights and freedoms. And there's always an opportunity to be an entrepreneur or a way to improve in your status. But like I said, the main reason the greatest advantage most of these people have that come here is that they have the opportunity to hear the gospel freely spoken. In many of the countries, I'm not all, only talking about Mexico or Mexicans. I mean, you're talking about Cubans. You're talking about people from Central America coming up because of all the strife and the and just the what would you call famine or just the government. And of course, we know now with Cuba, what was it? Fidel Castro just passed away. Was it yesterday? I think it was. But there's a lot of that with the Cubans. That I mean, they've been influenced the southeastern part of this country very much. We also talked about different kinds of immigration reform. I mean, there's three basic reform responses to immigration laws. There's the first one, an amnesty approach, which just kind of people believe that all illegal immigrants living in the United States should be able to have legal immigration. This is called basically an open border enthusiasts. But there are very few that believe that every person that's come over should be pardoned. Then you have the restrictive approach. That's where every immigrant should be arrested and deported, and they should not be able to share the benefits that legal persons in the country enjoy. Many of these people also favor conservative policies and stronger restrictions for future immigration. And then you have the partial amnesty approach, which attempts to deal with illegal immigrants in kind of a middle ground. A lot of people say that deporting 8 to 20 million illegal immigrants is going to be awful hard to do or impractical. They suggest that we should regulate the movement. We should try to get them to regulate towards citizenship or naturalizing, and then give them their fines and give them incentives toward making themselves citizens. And I'm sure many of you have different opinions about the problem and the various facets of the problem. And unfortunately, we can't talk a lot about that, but I know that Brother Serge, he immigrated when he was a child, him and his family, and they did it legally, and most of the it can be done, but it's just with the overwhelming status of a lot of the illegal immigrants, the country really needs to take a stand or make some laws that make sense, and not that, you know, people hear this, people hear that, but we need to look at the as Christians, we need to look at these problems and be thorough and exact in examining these problems. And then I talked about what the Bible says about the stranger. God commands a caring attitude toward the stranger, and we find that in God's Word in the Old Testament. You can read Deuteronomy 24, verse 17. If somebody could read that, can I get somebody to read Deuteronomy 24, 17 to 22? Any volunteers here? Okay, sis Carmen.
Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take the widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee from it. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thy harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheep in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hands.
Amen. Okay, in Deuteronomy, there it says we're supposed to leave the crops for the strangers to glean, and he would bless their hands. And in 22, it says about God's instruction, it was a commandment. It wasn't something that God, you know, it was very important to God. We're supposed to treat others as God has treated us, and we're supposed to have that caring obedience. God didn't want us to forget that, and he doesn't want us to forget that now. I mean, there's a lot of, when we apply this to immigration, we have to, you know, we really have to look at it as the United States doesn't have the same relationship with God as Israel did, but still God wants us as believers to have that caring attitude, and he doesn't want, and if you look at it, that in Malachi verses 3:6, it says, let me go there, Malachi 3:6. And Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." So God doesn't change his attitude. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of issues to be worked through. There's, you know, with the legal or illegal concerns of immigration, We can't just go to the Old Testament and say, well, because of this, we got to let all these people come in and do whatever. We really need to study and show that caring attitude or that caring heart. And in these passages, God cared for the stranger and was concerned about how his people treated the stranger. And God doesn't change. We also know that in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. It truly, what God is really looking for is us to care about it. And then he also talks, he talks about the poor. And I would think most of us agree that most of the people that come over to immigrate or immigrants are poor, especially to most of us, the standard of what we have. So in Old Testament teaching on the poor, God commanded through Moses, Deuteronomy 15:11, "For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto your brother, to the poor and to the needy in the land." God says in Proverbs 21:13, I'll have somebody read that for me, please. Proverbs 21:13. Do I have a volunteer? Someone read 21:13. Katie?
"Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard."
Amen. So I just describe the importance God puts on responding to the needs of the poor. He says here that we, if we don't react to it, we probably won't receive the blessings that we should receive. If we refuse to respond to the poor, it'll be hard for us to get help in times of need. And there's a lot of Old Testament teachings or passages that show consideration for the poor. And, of course, in the New Testament, Jesus, he's quoting Isaiah 61:1, but in Luke 4:18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And in the early church, the poor were always considered to be taken care of. There's many verses we see where the church received directions for helping the poor. Go to Acts 2:44-45, or Acts 4:32-35, and even in James 2:6, he addressed the needs to honor the poor. So God was concerned about strangers. God is concerned about the poor, and we're never as Christians, we're never allowed to, you know, approach the immigration issue without compassion for the poor. But we need to really consider many of the things that are going on. I mean, there's many rocky places here. If there's so many immigrants and illegals that we can't support them, and then it'd be, you know, it wouldn't be good for the country. So we must work a lot of these things out, but we need to look at other scripture and to see what God says. And, of course, God wants us to know that we need to be witnesses to these immigrants. And in the late 1800s, the evangelism kind of took a different route, because there were a lot of European immigrant to the country because of the famine over there and to the civil whatever stress was going on, strife. But many were coming over, and there were people in the urban areas that were kind of the believers, and they were keeping the distance from these people that were coming over. And then they realized that God, instead of sending them out, was having the people that he wanted them to witness to, that they had come to them. So they needed to deal with these people, and God was sending the people to them. So if we go through, like my verses said, that we need to have this focus on evangelism, and it doesn't mean we should support lenient views on dealing with illegal immigration. It does mean that we need to realize there's an opportunity for the gospel, and it's not just a social or ethical problem that we need to solve. And have we ever considered the opportunities to reach foreign nations in our own country? This is what God is trying to do here. He's in Matthew 10, 5 and 6. If we go there, Matthew 10, 5 and 6. It says, Matthew 10, 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Slowly, the gospel seed throughout the world is a clear command of God. Matthew lays out clearly the transition to an expanded ministry. In Matthew 28, of course, we know Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says, go ye therefore, preach the gospel. Let's go there, Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatever soever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So, yes.
Can I mention something?
Sure. Sure, go ahead.
Because of the testimony of Americans and their doing what Brother Duffy said, we have two men in our church. Jose Luis came up here. He carried a backpack of marijuana across the border, was arrested, was thrown in jail in Texas. An independent Baptist pastor had a service there, and he trusted Christ as Savior. Came back to Mexico. He's a very active man in our church. Praise God for
Amen.
A man that shared with
Amen.
In our mountain mission, a man named Gilberto was up here picking oranges. He had a green card between Tucson and Phoenix. And the guy that was the owner of the orchard took him to a Baptist church up in Phoenix, I understand. And he also is a Christian man in our church. So what Brother Duffy is saying,
Amen.
Let our light shine, because it does make, it's made a difference to us in our church in Mexico.
Yes,
excuse me.
Amen. No, that's very good. It's very good information. That's what the point I'm trying to get across is that these people are here, and no matter, I mean, there's, like I said, there's a lot of things that need to be straightened out there. And, of course, we don't want murderers and that being here. I mean, that has to be worked out. There's a lot of these coming back and forth. And, of course, now I was just reading in the paper this morning, there's, you know, the guns and that the cartels want down there. They're bringing across the border. We're catching Border Patrol is catching, or when they go through the checkpoints, finding all these guns and ammunition. So there's a, you know, both ways. There's a lot going on, but there's always the need for us to realize that some of it's right here that we can focus on, and we just need to figure out which ways we want to get the gospel to the people that are here in our city and in our state. Jesus always tells us to pray, you know, pray for our laborers in God's harvest. He wants compassion, like I said in the, like it says in the verses I quoted at the beginning. He was moved with compassion on them. So we just need to see, try to meet the spiritual needs of these people. And that's what God really wants. I mean, and we just need to figure out and seek opportunities to deal with the people that God has sent. And, of course, it says here, it's the immigrant's greatest need is not becoming an American, but becoming a citizen of heaven through trusting in Christ, his Savior. That's what we really need to look at. The final thing I wanted to get across here in the lesson teaches is God's the response we should have to following this these commandments of God, to be caring, to want to be helpful to the needy and the poor, and of course of getting God's word to them, God's gospel. But how do we do this with a good response? And one of the verses they point us to is Ephesians 4:25, which is talking about honesty. Ephesians 4:25 states, if I can get there. I've got a new Bible, and it's been hard to try to turn the pages. Amen. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Mm-hmm. So, how might this be related to our debate here? As in anything, we as believers, we should make sure that we're communicating the truth and not just saying something off the, you know, the tip of our tongue or what we've heard. We need to study it or study the claims when we're facing the immigration issue. Like it says here, whatever else is said of a believer, it must be said of him that he tells the truth. And there's a lot of people saying that some have suggested that America is being overwhelmed by millions of illegal immigrants. But statistics shows otherwise. We have seen immigration like this before, but there's a lot of social and political and legal problems that still needed to related to the illegal immigration. But we should never exaggerate about what is going on here. Like I said, it's been immigration has been a major part of American life since we started, and we just need truthfulness here. We need careful analysis. And anything that we say, we should know what it is and make sure it's the truth. We need to have, like God's word says, study to show what's going on. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, if we want to be honest about it, and then we want to obey. Of course, we need to obey the law. And the Bible clearly instructs that we need to obey the law. Both Jesus and Paul were clear that believers are to obey government authorities. Paul says in Romans 13:1-7, could I have somebody read Romans 13:1-7? Steve, are you willing to read that? Thank you, Steve. Good to see you. Romans 13:1-7, please.
Every soul be subject unto higher powers, whether it is no power but of God. Powers that we are or name of God, for this cause pay me tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to custom, here and here, honor to God.
Amen. So the Bible really makes it pretty clear there that authorities are appointed by God, and to resist authorities is to resist God. Of course, there's certain exceptions to that. I mean, for if a government told us that we were supposed to shoot an illegal immigrant, we're not supposed to kill. We shouldn't do that. And of course, whatever the government, if the government tells us not to share the gospel, of course, we're not supposed to follow that. We should disobey that order. Of course, there's other things. Some churches want to hide illegals, and now that's not something we should be doing. We shouldn't be hiding the illegals from the Naturation Service, and of course business people, Christian business people especially, shouldn't hire illegals unless the government allows it. Assimilation to American way of life is large an adoption of a commitment to American laws. When we reform these laws, Christians should be obedient to the plan. So whatever, you know, the government's deciding here, we need to, you know, of course we should have say in it, but we should be obedient to whatever the plan is. And there's a lot of, you know, there's millions of illegals in the United States. And our response, especially a Christian response, there might be disagreements, but there might be just, it might be not because of matter of principle, but we must deal with the problem. I mean, something needs to be done, like I've stated. Something needs to be done, and like Pastor stated, we need to pray for our Senate and the people that make the laws, and that the president works with them, and we have that all working together now with Trump. There should be something that should be focused on that and get it straightened out, or get us to get the country headed in the right direction. But what I want to finalize in is God always wants us to be to love the stranger, to help the poor and needy, and respect the different, you know, the ethnic diversity, if you know what that means. I mean, just the different cultures. We have a lot of different cultures here in Tucson. I mean, we do have the Muslim influence. I know it's down by the U of A, and of course we have the there's other different. I know there's Russian influence here too. There's a lot of different cultures here in Tucson, and there's a lot of people that we need to reach. And basically, what the lesson or the theme of the lesson is to God expects us as believers to show His compassion to the immigrants. Of course, first seeking primarily to meet their need for salvation.
That's right.
And We just need, as Christians, we need to consider how we can reach the immigrants for Christ here in Tucson. Mm-hmm. So I want to finish up with that. I'll say a prayer. I thank you for your attention. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly God, Father, we just thank you again for this study time on your word, and just help us to learn from it, Lord. I know I learned a lot about just what your word says about helping and caring and basically just getting your word, how these people are here, and getting your word to them, Lord. Help us to just love you more, Lord, and help us to witness. And we thank you for, once again, I thank you for this hour. I thank you for giving me the strength to do this, Lord. And I thank you for the people here, for them listening. And we just praise you, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.